AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
I'm so excited to tell you JCPenney and country music singer-songwriter Walker Hayes are partnering together on a new limited-time men's collection for the everyday guy. What I love about Walker Hayes is his laid-back nature. He's a family man, and being a country megastar while also having 7 kids, you know he likes to keep his style cool and casual. This new collection is perfect for the guy living the t-shirt life or someone wanting some fresh options that feel just as good. It's easy to wear, affordable styles that celebrate the ultimate family man, along with the quality, durability, and sensibility dads appreciate. Available online Saturday, May 4th at jcp.com and in-store Thursday, May 16th. Just in time for Father's Day. Limited time only. JCPenney, make it count.
Hey, it's Adam22, and you know what to do. Watch me talk to Bootleg Kev about porn. Hit the link. Let's go.
Hey, this interview is brought to you by our good folks at Imperial Extractions, ladies and gentlemen. Now, check this out. If you want a free 2-gram pre-roll delivered right to your door, they got you. Go get a free 2-gram THCA diamond-infused pre-roll with any order right now. We're talking about 1.5 grams of top-shelf flower and 0.5 gram of pure THCA diamonds. ImperialExtraction.com, promo code bootleg, and you're going to get this for free delivered right to your door. Let's get to the interview. Yo, Bootleg Kev Podcast special guest in here. My guy Adam22 is in the building.
Yeah.
Welcome back, sir.
How you feeling, Jay?
I'm good, man. How's everything?
Pretty good, yeah.
You've had a busy week?
Grinding out content on my way to taking a small amount of time off for Christmas.
How long are you taking off?
Not, you know, between Christmas and New Year's.
Oh, that's like a week.
And even then, if I get interview offers, I'll probably just do it anyway.
If it's like a big enough one, yeah. Like
I'm always on call.
Yeah,
it's hard to say now.
Always on call. You just released first of all, I watched the first episode of you and Lena's show.
Mm.
I didn't finish it. I just assumed it was gonna. I just knew Crit Mac.
You're like, I know where this is going.
I knew Crit Mac wasn't gonna win.
Yeah.
It was cool. It felt like some old school like Flavor of Love type shit for sure.
Yeah, that's what we were going for, but with banging at the end.
Yeah. I only saw a clip of the scene where you high five the guy.
I think we fist bumped. He's a young black dude, so I don't know if he would have been comfortable with the full on Eiffel Tower.
I didn't see because for people don't know, there's the Eiffel Tower. Yeah. There's the
right.
So what was it like? Because were you there with Jason Love and Lana?
No, I wasn't around for that.
So what was it like being in it?
Way better. So much better. Because I felt like this weird little bit of jealousy when she did the scene with Jason Love, even though I got over that pretty quick. But in terms of us just shooting like me, him, and her, I mean, I was into it and fucking it didn't I didn't have any like conflicted feelings about it. It was all just good times.
Did you have any issues busting?
No.
None.
No.
Did the other guy have any issues?
I was born to come. No.
The other guy was fine?
Yeah, very good.
Because I heard the previous guy had some
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Yeah, you weren't there.
No,
confirmed or disconfirmed.
Jason Love, he's in his own world too.
Yeah, no, I can only imagine that had to be a. I don't know, man. I don't know if I could do it, but I probably couldn't get hard.
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, it took me a couple of minutes.
It took you a while.
Normally, I'm hard like on command, but it did. It was you know, like kind of tugging on it for me like 4 or 5 minutes before. But once it got up, it stayed up.
It stayed up.
Yeah.
Was he? I didn't see the video. So was he swinging?
Does he have a big dick, you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good one, yeah.
Or is he?
Maybe not quite a Jason Love, though.
So not, but more than you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're fucking, you're a sick fuck.
Well, I'm not going to pick a guy smaller than me.
I swear I would.
Really?
I mean, yeah, who's got a smaller dick than me? That's who's coming in here.
That would have been so transparent. A lot of people honestly were like, oh, he picked him because his dick is smaller than a couple of the other guys in the competition. Not really anything I was thinking about.
Does that dude do porn usually?
Yeah, he's a big deal.
Oh, he is a big deal.
Oh, yeah, he's already popping. Yeah.
Oh, so you had already kind of seen. Was everybody on the show besides Crit Mac a porn star already?
There was this dude, Churdleys, who's like an internet comedian. I have a feeling that he would not have actually done the fucking.
Right.
A couple other people, too.
So, like.
Rat Dick Ralph.
The show seemed kind of like pretty set up, obviously. It was good.
Winner was not determined.
The wizard wasn't determined.
People think that we had the winner picked out the whole time. It was me and her were still kind of going back and forth about it until the last minute when we had to pick. But there was like there's an interview that we do at the end of on episode 4, the final episode. We're talking to them at length, and like Lil D's personality just kind of emerged as being so much bigger than the other guys that it just kind of seemed obvious that he would be the one who kind of was emanating the most star power.
And he's been cool about everything.
Yeah, yeah, he's super cool.
Because it seems like the other situation, the guy was like kind of clout chasey a little bit.
Yeah, we definitely talked to him about that so we could avoid that mistake.
Like, hey, if we're going to do this, man.
Yeah, don't be a weirdo.
Be a professional.
Yeah.
Be a pro.
Respect the marriage.
How many days did you guys film?
It was only 2 days. It seems like a little longer, but.
2 days, quick.
It's so fucking expensive to have the whole entire reality crew there that like.
And to rent the house.
Exactly.
Did you guys need to get permits?
Yes.
Oh, so you guys really fucking, it's a real production.
We hired like a crazy, like 20 person reality crew to film and conceptualize the whole thing.
I've always told everybody, because for whatever reason, I've told you this before, I think people think like we're a lot closer friends than we are, and we're cool. Like, you're my boy, you know, like you've thrown some lobs my way that I appreciate.
I don't talk to that many people in general.
But people like hit me up like, what's up with your boy? Uh-huh. He's a fucking cuck. This is weird. And I'm like, I don't know, dude. Maybe like, and this is what I always say. You guys have been fucking women on camera,
right,
for so long.
Uh-huh.
One dick comes out of left field, and it's like crazy. All of a sudden they just act like you guys aren't sex workers or performers or whatever you want to call it.
Like,
right?
Even when we had our kid, I don't really remember like almost anybody throwing it in our faces and being like, you shouldn't have a kid, you're a porn star, yada yada. Whereas now it feels like every time
it's all you hear.
It's all people want to do is just tell me about how I'm like violating the sanctity of traditional marriage. And like everyone just kind of like willfully ignores the fact that we do porn and are, let's be honest, clearly trolling / hamming it up to get as much media attention as possible on Plug Talk, right?
Which worked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that clip you guys sold with Jason Love had to be one of the more, I think you had told me it was one of the more successful things ever sold on that platform, right?
The biggest OnlyFans scene of all time.
Ever.
Ever.
Seven figures, of course. Eight figures?
I wouldn't want to take that leap. You never know, though.
In between? Like around the five? That's a lot, dude. What do they keep? Like, I always wonder, what is OnlyFans? What's their cut?
20%.
So they're keeping 20%?
Yeah.
Damn.
So they're eating off everybody.
That's fucking great. Man, OnlyFans, that's such a great business model.
Insane, right?
Damn. I remember when they were going to go away and then all the fake OnlyFans popped up.
Yeah, and we spent like 30 grand to get a fucking Plug Talk website built, and then by the time it got done, OnlyFans seemed a lot more stable, and so we never even ended up making the website go live. We figured, let's just stick to OnlyFans.
Yeah, it's almost like if YouTube went away, you'd have to figure some shit out. Like, OnlyFans is kind of like the new like standard if you're a content creator, even in the porn industry.
And right? I even know girls, like some of the biggest girls in the industry, who have their own website ready to go, and they just keep it on the back burner because OnlyFans is just so much more familiar to the users that it's a layup. Like, it's just so much more effective to put your content on there. It's kind of sucks that you can't necessarily like present it exactly the way that you want to present it, like you would be able to on a website, but they go to your website, they got to put in their credit card information. They go to OnlyFans,
right.
Credit card information is already in there for like almost everybody who would ever think about buying porn, right?
True. Yeah, and it's kind of like, if you're going to go on YouTube to watch like all your content, why would you go sign up for, I mean, like, shout out to Rumble, no diss to Rumble, but I'm not fucking watching nothing on Rumble.
I mean, I would if it came down to it, but
like,
yeah.
If you had to.
If I had to, I would go to Rumble, but it would take a lot.
Yeah, it would take a lot, especially like if you got like booted off of the platform or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Which has happened with, I think what Steve will do, it happened with him.
Yeah, it's good to have a backup, but I don't know.
Do you guys get to see like the top earners? Because we saw the celebrity top earner of the year thing on OnlyFans. Mm-hmm. Are you able to see on the back end like where you rank at the end of the year?
They tell you your like percentage. Like,
you get to see top 0.01%.
Yeah, but they don't give you any more information than that. Because that would be pretty crazy if we were able to be like, well, we make a little bit more than you and you, but not as much as you. That would be.
Because I feel like some of these celebrity numbers have to be inflated.
I think a lot of people lie about it. And
because, the Bad Baby numbers are so fucking insane.
Yeah, I don't know. A weird part of me kind of believes her numbers just because, as ridiculous as that $18 million month looks, it just kind of seemed like, when I saw how it went from like 18 million to like 800,000 as the months went by, I was like, that seems like a normal rate of degrading of income. But I don't know if you saw the guy who was like Ruby Rose's number one.
I saw you just did the interview with him. He said it was cap, right?
Yeah. And so I feel like,
I think he's full of shit.
Oh, no. That's a funny reaction that a lot of people keep having to it, is that they think he's actually now covering up for his own perversion. But let me tell you, I've known this guy for a long time.
So you know him?
I've known him because he used to be an assistant to a tattoo artist who did some work on me. He one time came to the store in like 2018 and he did a dab with lean instead of water. I guess he was just trying to get some attention doing that or whatever. And the thing about him that really made me realize it was fake is, well, number one of the top dudes at OnlyFans corporate told me it was fake. And then after that, I realized just that he knows a lot of the porn star girls that I know. Like, he was on FaceTime with Gina Valentina right after our interview, just talking on some regular shit. So it's like, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy. And also, I don't think he has the kind of money that it would require.
Well, he's supposed to be a crypto whale.
I think, yeah, that's
you fake. Think that's all bullshit?
Yeah, no.
So, because he was, I saw a picture, he didn't get a Ruby Rose tattoo?
He did get a Ruby Rose tattoo.
I don't know.
Which is kind of funny, because I doubt she would ever want to really see him again.
That's very, that's committing.
You want to know something super funny? Oh my God, I feel bad, actually. I feel bad even calling it funny, but he had a whole week of media planned out, right? He mm-hmm. was going to do Vlad. He flew to Miami to do Fresh and Fit immediately after our interview. And he was supposed to go on that whatever pod.
We've been DMing each other.
Well, there's another one that probably isn't going to happen, I would assume. But like the whatever pod, when I went there yesterday, he asked me about that guy. I told him it was fake. He goes, oh, we're probably just not going to have him on then. I'm like, oh, whoops. Vlad, I think, canceled on him as well.
If it's fake.
And he flew out to do Fresh and Fit. And they canceled on him after he already flew out there. But I understand why. Because what the fuck are you interviewing this guy about if it's all fake?
Yeah, especially... I mean, shout out to Ruby Rose. If this was her team, like hiring some dude, it fucking worked.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, crazy. It's not a bad idea.
Oh, I've noticed. Smart, yeah. I told my girl right away as soon as I saw it. I was like, "We should do this. We should say that
find somebody.
Some guy give us $100,000. Let's just up the ante.
Just
why
find
not?
Some dude, hire him, some fucking dude that's a nobody who doesn't have any relationships.
To her
no
credit,
social media presence.
They made it seem kind of real with the screenshots of the.
Oh, with the texting
and shit.
Like, yeah. Weird dude from OnlyFans.
That was smart. And even this right here is kind of like another round of attention on Ruby Rose's OnlyFans, even if it's
and
not
I've
as
noticed
positive.
Too, like, you'll scroll on like Hollywood Unlock,
uh-huh.
and they'll have these fake stories about like teacher gets fired from their OnlyFans account, but it's really like
we banged her.
Oh. No, but I'm not even talking about that one, because that was a real one.
Yeah.
There's been so many. Because we talk about shit on the radio, and my boy will be like, oh, this is somebody got fired from their job or whatever, or and then we'll look and we'll be like, oh, this is a paid ad.
Oh, yeah. And now Twitter will add a community note oftentimes informing the public of, oh, this is fake. Like, this account got paid to post this. This is only fan promotion.
Yeah.
So shout out to Elon. That's a very useful service right there.
I always wonder, because I've been seeing the community notes recently, and I always wonder if it's community notes, who... Like what process does the community notes go through to verify and or not verify?
I think it's like Wikipedia, where there's just like a team of like unpaid people basically communicating about it, and like a large percentage of people doing the community notes have to agree in order to add the community note, although I'm sure that could be gamed to some extent, because sometimes you see the community note pop up and then it goes away.
Do you did you see the, obviously you saw the clip of Elon saying go fuck yourself to Bob Iger?
Yeah.
Or is it Bob Iger?
That's or to all the advertisers.
Yeah, but he's like, hi Bob, in the crowd or whatever. Yeah, did you watch that full interview?
I did.
It was pretty good.
I liked a lot of it. I think he's kind of in over his head with telling all the advertisers to fuck off because he's supposedly this like free speech guy, and I can't think of a better example of free speech than corporations deciding not to advertise with a guy who's basically created a platform where there's a lot of unsavory things going on, much of which he's co-signing. So I don't really think that he has any kind of argument against those advertisers. The idea that he's going to sue these advertisers for not wanting to advertise on his platform is absurd.
It is kind of anti-free speech.
Yeah.
Because they have the ability to choose where they want to advertise.
And I like Twitter being what it is, where there's a lot of free speech, and it's like the only platform where if there's a fight or if there's something sexual, I know I can put it on Twitter. I can't put it on Instagram or YouTube. Sure. I'm going to lose my account. Can't put it on Snapchat. Can't put it on pretty much anywhere besides Twitter.
You can let anything fly on Twitter.
Yeah, and I appreciate that, but I also think that...
You had to put an episode on Twitter once, right? Because you guys took that week off because of a strike, right?
Yeah, we got a strike for like the dumbest shit ever. I forget what it was. It was something about...
I remember the whole episode was on Twitter, though.
Yeah, we had to put it on Twitter. It was fucking depressing as fuck because nobody wants to listen to a two-hour podcast on Twitter. But we just wanted to be able to put our week's episode out either way, so we
I think
did
if
it.
They somehow fix like the... I guess the... just a platform for video watching, the more and more YouTube starts like clamping down and like fucking with creators, I could see Twitter eventually becoming like, I mean,
but it's going to require advertisers,
and they have to change, like it's like you just press play on it, like it doesn't go vertical or it doesn't go horizontal. It's just a hard platform to watch. Well,
and it doesn't appear that a lot of people really want to be in the business of hosting all this video content, because you look at Twitch. I mean, Twitch could easily be a VOD style platform as well, like you live stream and then you can upload your video after, but you can't really upload videos on
but
Twitch.
They're fucking getting over on their folks. I think it's 50-50.
Yeah, they take a stupid ad rate. But you're talking about Amazon, the richest fucking company in the world, and they don't want the headache of having Twitch turn into YouTube. So that kind of makes me feel like Elon's biting off a bit more than he can chew, because it doesn't, like, you know, people aren't making really significant amounts of money on Twitter, which
I
guess
know
could
the
change.
Twitter ads, you probably know more than me. Because Facebook's still pretty solid. You guys got the Facebook booming, right?
Facebook is pretty nice.
Yeah. So where do you guys go from here, you and Lena? Because obviously you guys, does this keep happening? Is the door off the hinges now when it comes to dudes? Like,
Definitely we're going to do more shit with other guys.
Right.
But I don't, you know, we're not going to do like another reality show to find the next guy that she's going to fuck or whatever. You know, for sure, if we have an idea, something that'll take it to the next level, then we're down to do it. But at this point, I think we're kind of plotting our next moves. I think that as like an overall umbrella idea for Plug Talk, we could kind of take like any successful content style. Last night I was thinking about game shows a lot, and just thinking like, because I know that some of those guys, like the Sidemen and the Amp guys and everything, Kassanat and all them, that they do basically game shows that are kind of like ripoffs of existing game shows that people watch on TV, right?
You could do it like the sex version.
Makes sense to me, but we got to figure out, because like, I think me and her are both looking at like how we exit Plug Talk at a certain point. Like, how do we build it into a business that doesn't seem entirely dependent on me and her? And I think we've taken some important steps with that, because we do these live orgies consistently on the channel.
Right. Or you'll have it, some of it on YouTube, some of it on...
We do like a big panel, like, you know, 15 or 10 people talking or whatever, and then everybody goes and fucks. But if we could produce content that would consistently do well and promote the porn side of things and make it X-rated, but then also be able to have a version of it that goes on Instagram and TikTok and everything, I think that's perfect. So I think we need to like basically figure that out, because we want to have another kid at some point. So there's going to be a shakeup in terms of Lena not doing content for 6 months or whatever.
There's got to be like the end game's got to be, you guys are gonna do this forever.
Not forever, but I will say that there's a lot of porn dudes like Dredd. Dredd is 50.
No, yeah, shout out to him.
A lot of porn dudes are like 50 at a certain point before they hang it up.
I'm talking about just like the being married with a performer, being on camera. It feels like anytime some of my favorite porn stars have ever gotten married, they usually retire.
Yeah, I don't know. We're having fun with it. Honestly, if it wasn't fun, then we wouldn't be doing it. But
and is it ever like, I don't like, you guys have always kind of had this type of relationship where you guys bring women in right to the fold. So
I mean, for me personally, I would do Plug Talk for free if I just got to fuck all these girls.
Exactly. Well, that's what I was gonna say. It's like, how do you ever like, you probably can never go back to just like, hey, it's just me and you. Like,
I think we could. I think like,
because has it ever been that
just me and her?
Yeah.
I mean, before Plug Talk, for sure, there would be like months and months and months where we didn't hook up with anybody else, especially during the pregnancy and stuff. I kind of feel like as I've gotten older, like the threesome thing when I was still a civilian was such like a coveted thing. Like it was just, I can remember every threesome I ever had. It was just the most exciting thing in the world to fuck two girls at the same time. Now, having done it hundreds and hundreds of times, I definitely feel like I could just be a regular guy.
Just
like
hang out. Just marry.
Yeah, definitely.
Come home, get dinner.
But I'm going to be just chasing chicks around in the club and shit well into my 40s. I'm not really seeing it. So I feel like I could definitely be just straight monogamous. But I also feel like if we were monogamous and we weren't doing porn, we would probably start sort of being like, oh, well, maybe we should fuck this girl together. Maybe we should go out with her. Maybe we should, you know, find, like, I think we would still probably find ways to want to explore a little sexually.
Did you end up fucking Joe Smith's wife?
No, but I would love to.
Didn't she pull up? She never did nothing? What'd she do?
The interview, and I was kind of tossing it out there. Like, hey, me and you doing porn. What do you think? And she didn't seem like it was off the table, but she's still married.
So. In the same way in like 2017, a rapper could go on your platform and it changes their life. Are you guys kind of like the coveted platform for any porn chick to try to get on to try to kind of change the trajectory of their business on OnlyFans?
I mean, definitely we're a platform that could do that. I don't know. Like, if somebody wants to make a bunch of noise by just doing a sex scene in general, I think we're, like, a great place for somebody to pull up. Like, I know that we for sure moved the needle big time on that teacher, Brianna, or whatever they were talking about.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. The market is very flooded in terms of porn
are you guys like,
content.
You guys have your pick every week, I'm sure. Like, we got X amount of people trying to do this.
We have enough episodes right now to not do it till March. So we have
you're just racking them up.
Yeah, some weeks we'll do five or six.
How about CJ Miles?
Oh.
She's a champion.
Oh, my God, bro.
I've been a fan of hers for a long time on Twitter. Oh,
I can't wait for that one to come out. Her interview was mind-blowing.
She's very small.
She's 4'7".
So what was it?
42 years old. 4'7".
She's 42?
Can you believe it?
Fuck. Them Asians, they don't age, bro.
Insane.
Shit. What kind? Is she a Filipina or what is she? Yeah. Shout out to Filipino women and men. They do not age at all. My manager's 58 and he looks like he's 40.
I had a hell of a time not busting with her.
Man.
My shit was overflowing.
Was that like one of the better, like recent? Because I'm assuming like...
Yes.
Yeah, CJ Miles.
She's hot.
She's fire.
And it's something about her just being this like miniature sized human, but still being like basically a MILF that was. She's just so professional the way she was hopping on there.
You never fucked a midget?
No, I'm still looking for the right one.
I've seen a few. At least I've seen a few on Twitter where you're like, oh.
Yeah, but it hasn't really happened yet.
Because like the thing about midgets, do you remember the old OG porn star Pinky?
I do.
So Pinky to me was like, she was like, just teetering on midget status.
Was she really that small?
She was built like a midget.
I didn't know that.
You know, like midgets are real stumpy and thick. You know what I'm saying?
I think she was just like,
are we getting canceled?
I don't know. I DM'd Pinky too. I didn't hear back from her. Although my girl probably definitely doesn't remember Pinky, so it might have been kind of hard explaining.
I think Pinky is. I haven't seen her recently, so I couldn't. I saw a picture. Yeah,
there was a whole thing where she was like, they took pictures of her in the fucking Walmart or some shit, and she wasn't looking so hot.
She wasn't looking so great.
And everybody's making a big deal out of it, and it's like, bro, you could take the hottest porn girl in the game, and you show her with no makeup, shitty photo.
Happened with Ice Spice. People try to talk shit about Ice Spice. I'm like, Ice Spice.
When you see that, you realize how confused a lot of guys are, because the way chicks look when they're on camera fully dolled up and the way they look 99% of the time, it's not the same thing. And that's like a little boy thing of like realizing like, oh shit, girls look different with concealer and mascara and all this shit. So
shit. Yeah. Like, have you never had a girlfriend before? Does she look the same from when you guys, you know?
There is such a thing where like some girls are hot as fuck with makeup and they look still really hot without makeup.
For sure.
And then there's some girls where the difference is quite drastic.
It is drastic. What is the latest with Crip Mac? Obviously he's incarcerated. Have you got to speak with him? Do you know what's going on with him?
Yeah, I talked to him on the phone for like 2 minutes on the other day when I was with Lupe and Four Extras, and there's a new girl named Carby Doll who Crip Mac has apparently landed himself in a relationship with since he got locked up. That's the level of a Riz that my man Crip Mac has. We're gonna call him Riz Mac, is that he basically like found a new girlfriend from behind the G-wall, which is insane.
So is there any sort of idea, like is it a federal case?
Yeah. And like he's saying that, well, I've heard that the average sentence would be 5 years.
Damn.
He's saying 3 to 5 over the phone. I don't know.
Would you, because I saw like Suge Knight's got this new podcast that's over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there'd be a way to keep Crip Mac involved in content via the phone?
That is a good idea. I don't know. I haven't tuned into that.
Just to try to keep something going, keeping some motion going with him. I don't know. You know, like,
I've never had good luck with talking to people on the phone in jail and having them tell me anything interesting. You know, I remember I used to talk to Draco after he'd been locked up for a year or two, and they don't usually seem eager to tell you about all their fights and everything, and then the audio quality is shit. So I don't know. I mean,
yeah, I mean, they obviously aren't going to snitch on themselves. Like, I got into it last night, you know, but I don't know. Maybe I just feel like he was on such a climb right now. Like, I just watched that Neon video where he threw the hot dog at dude and was like, suck that shit up with your ass.
Biggest
asshole.
Hot dog ever.
Oh my God. I was like, Crip Mac is on his way to being in movies. This guy's on his fucking way. So when I saw he got arrested, it was I don't even know, dude. It was just heartbreaking.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, my girl always saw me interviewing him and, like, didn't really get it or, like, never paid attention to his shit. And then she hung out with him 2 days on set. And by the end of that, she was like, he's the funniest person I've ever met.
Dude, he's just hilarious. Nuts.
And he was the star of the show on the Lena reality show. Like, he just kind of stole it. Like, he just was so good on camera and so funny. And I actually don't really think we would have had a show if it wasn't for him, or at least it wouldn't have been
entertaining.
It wouldn't have been anywhere near as funny, because it's like every 30 seconds to a minute, there's just a Crip Mac line in the show. And all the porn dudes are just very normal for the most part. They're like, you know, if you want to be a porn star and you want to be accepted in the game, the name of the game is make everybody like you, don't offend anybody, don't piss anybody off. Even like the other day, I made a joke about Violet Myers on a podcast with Lil D, and my girl, and he said, would you bust in her? And I go, hell no, I wouldn't bust in her. She's Mexican. Which, you and me get the joke. Mexican girls get pregnant a lot, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I have two Mexican children.
My girl scared me right away. She's like, you should call Violet and make sure that she's not going to get offended by that. Which I was like, okay, I feel you. Because in the porn game, you just really want everybody to like you. Because it could be one or two girls that don't fuck with you that could really have a negative impact on your career.
Well, I've noticed you've even like some of the stuff you told me off camera, you've kept close to you and not revealed on camera, even though you could. Mm. But it's a kind of like an unwritten rule type of industry.
I am a believer in the porn man's code, where you just, anything weird that happens on set, even in this conversation, there are things that have been complicated behind the scenes, on set, whatever, and we just don't talk about it. Everything was great. Everything always was great. Nobody ever had a hard time getting a boner. Everybody finished as soon as they wanted to. It's just like, I feel like you're not supposed to talk about that stuff. Like, you're not supposed to film the DP. Like the Crip Mac DP.
DP, I'm thinking DP, double penetration. It's so funny, moving to LA, and when my boy was telling me about getting DP'd once, I was like, bro, I didn't know about, you know, the gang DP as opposed to being a sick fuck.
And you can't win.
Assuming double penetration.
You're not allowed to win the DP.
Yeah. I
mean, if I'm getting DP'd and I start winning, more people enter the DP and beat the shit out of you.
So you got to just.
I mean, then, but I still think you're supposed to try to fight.
You got to kind of put up a fight, but you don't want to.
You can't whoop his ass, or the DP will probably become a lot more extreme, I think. Yeah,
that's interesting.
Well, they tell me.
First of all, shout out to you and Wack. I feel like you guys have such a great chemistry on camera.
Yeah, I appreciate it. That's usually my most fun hour or two out of the week. Yeah,
well, it's been a lot more consistent too, because I know there's sometimes he'll like just be off doing Wack shit, you know. And
yeah, well, he's in Bangladesh selling diapers and shit, and then he just can't
Nick
podcast.
Nick Cannon diapers.
Exactly. Incredible. Floyd Mayweather's investing. He's in the Congo. He's selling diapers in the Congo.
If I got a kid, only using Incredible diapers.
My belief is that when you go into business, you should probably like primarily focus on things you understand. Like, what the fuck is, what does Wack know about selling diapers in the Congo? But if he can do it, that's like the sickest thing ever. So I'm proud of him.
If he becomes the new face of diapers, then shit.
I was just telling him, tell me if you like this idea. You know Blippi?
Mm-mm.
Anyone who watches, who has kids, the guy with the orange glasses.
I told
Wack that he needs to become like that. He needs to become like the brand ambassador for his own diapers, and we're going to make kids content, and it's going to be Wack in a funny outfit saying like, hey, this is how you count to four. That's a good idea, right?
It is. I mean, I don't know, man. He never ceases to amaze me with like his pivoting.
Yeah.
Because he's all of a sudden now, like, you know, like he said on your shit the other day, that he's kind of like got so much internet clout. People could just say something about him and then they get clicks. It's kind of crazy.
To imagine if his diapers became super popular and then, you know, what is there going to be a Daily Beast article that's like listing off all the offensive things that Wack has ever said on camera? Like
don't buy these diapers at Target because the owner said, you know, Tupac or something.
Right. Or all these things.
Or whatever he said. And any list of crazy shit he said.
Yeah, so I don't know. But I mean, I feel like WAC is kind of like post cancellation.
Yeah, just, you can't cancel WAC.
WAC would have to do something very extreme to be canceled.
Yeah, I feel like him, Boosie, there's just a few people that's like, I don't know what you're going to do. Like,
because they're like left over from a prior generation, so it feels kind of wrong to like judge them by the standards of today. You know?
That's fucking hilarious.
It is true. It's like, Boosie is like, he just wasn't born in 1999. He's an old school guy.
He's OG from the South. Must and accept, people love Boosie for who he is.
You imagine how much funnier Boosie's going to get as he gets older?
And how much people would be disappointed if he actually like, you know, succumb to like being like, you know, more PC or.
I actually think, now I've been thinking about it, Vlad, I think they should teach about trans shit in school. I've been thinking, yeah, like imagine Boosie.
People be like, the fuck? Oh my God. That'd be hilarious. What I thought was dope was, and I told WAC this, like I appreciated him being like a catalyst to kind of de-escalate what was going on between you and the guys. At
okay, I would be happy to give WAC credit for something like that, but in actuality, that was entirely me. I just chose to have the conversation with WAC.
Him
he didn't even there. Know that that was coming, and he was entirely antagonistic for the most part, so it's not like he really helped out too much, but he was my sounding board for
I
that conversation.
I think he kind of helped guide the, you know,
true,
probably, guide yeah. it a bit, you know?
He'd been talking to some of them off camera and all that, too, so I guess that probably helped.
Yeah, for you, I mean, it feels like it feels like a lot more positive, like this negative energy isn't hanging over both of y'all's platforms. You know, do you feel like kind of a relief since you've had that conversation on camera and kind of like said, I'm going to de-escalate this. I'm going to step back.
Yeah, I think like at various points in your career, you have to be willing to kind of zoom out, look at yourself, look at what you're doing with your time. And I mean, even just on a super basic level, I have this constantly where I'm thinking about what I'm doing with No Jumper. And it's kind of like, well, I'm putting in this much time to earn this much money from No Jumper. And in some sense, I'm kind of ignoring my opportunity with Plug Talk, which maybe is a 2 or 3 times bigger opportunity.
On revenue.
And when I zoom out and I look at my business and I'm like, oh, well, you spent a lot of mental energy this week in arguing with people and nobody benefits from this or seems interested in this besides like the small little nest of hardcore fans that are talking about it on Reddit and stuff. Yeah. It's not like all the viral platforms pick it up when I say something to AD.
Because you had some good rants. I hit you like, yo, you had some fucking real Paul Heyman-esque WWE top notch.
Yeah, I got that in me. But at the end of the day, it's just like, what is the shelf life of this? You know, like I can go viral doing all kinds of stuff that doesn't like impact my life. And then when I saw
and impact people around you.
Exactly. I saw this shit happen with Dub. And it wasn't just like what happened on camera with Dub. It's like I'm having conversations with Brick Baby and Dub after the fact. And there's just things coming up in the conversation about neighborhoods and about groups of people. And they're not getting along. And oh my God, this might happen and shit. And I'm just like looking at it and being like, okay, you trying to make good content on the internet resulted in a situation that could very easily turn bad. And
that situation could spark
exactly,
20 other situations.
And it's just like, what is the fucking point? Why am I doing this?
Over podcast beef.
Yeah, and I realized in that moment, I'm just like, well, you know, you could just kind of like pull it back and just wave the white flag and just take a little mini L right now to basically spare yourself a lot of wasted energy and a lot of bullshit.
Bro. I think it's like growth.
I was surprised that like, even the audience, who obviously like wants to call me a bitch and wants to point out me being a pussy, whatever, they talked about it for a day and then they were kind of over it too. Because I think to a certain extent, like in the early days of us beefing, that was the most viral content on their platform. And then this time around, it wasn't. Like it may have helped their content a bit. They might have got more views from it, but it's not like it was, you know, 9 months ago,
right,
where like the biggest clip on Back on Fig that week is going to be talking about me. Now it's just not really having that impact. And you know, I see Joe Budden and Rory Maul still going back and forth and just sort of like sub-dissing each other and stuff all the time. And I don't know. To me, that seems kind of silly. Like, right, you guys have an opportunity in front of you. Like, why the fuck is your energy still going into this? And granted, it's not like all their energy, but they're still just kind of doing this song and dance, and it's the exact same thing as us. And to me, I'm kind of like, you guys could probably just not do that.
And like, all of you guys have kids. All of you guys are fathers.
Most of us.
All of you guys are, well, obviously, I'm talking about like, you know, the main guys involved. Everybody's got kids, man.
Duno has yet to prove that he can procreate.
I'm sure he's all right.
Probably got a nut or two in him. Yeah.
Shout out to Duno. But it, you know, for me, it was like just seeing like some of the, you know, like I get it was for entertainment, but just I feel like once it kind of got past a certain point, it was like, oh man, like it almost has to like be a thing, you know. Mm. But you did a good job of like leaning into it. You leaned into that motherfucker for real. I think you said it kicked off here.
Yeah, it did, because I didn't, after they left the channel, I didn't do any interviews. I went on my honeymoon, etc. Then I come back and finally you asked me and I'm like, okay, I'll do an interview with Kev. And that,
I feel like you kind of snapped into your you know, what is the big 22
thing. Yeah, but I didn't really like what I said, didn't really like, compared to what was said later, what I said on here was like nothing.
Right.
But it definitely like sparked a lot of conversation.
Hey, we got to stop the interview real quick, man. Shout out to our family at MyBookie. NFL season is winding down. You still got some regular season games you can get in on. Of course, the college bowl games are coming up. So much money to get. Plus, the cash prizes going down in their weekly blackjack tournaments at MyBookie.ag. And this is what's going on, right? MyBookie's crazy because they're doing this. If you sign up right now at MyBookie, use the promo code BOOTLEG. All right? Claim your deposit match redeemable up to $1,000. That's right. They're going to match your first deposit up to $1,000 using the promo code BOOTLEG. Claim your bonus. NFL, college bowl games. So much going on in terms of what you're trying to get down with if you want to gamble, if you want to bet. All right? They got blackjack. They got roulette. They got it all. And, of course, the best odds anywhere online when it comes to your sports betting needs. So one more time. Sign up right now with that promo code BOOTLEG. And I'm going to tell everybody this. You're going to get your first deposit matched up to $1,000. I'm going to put my money. I'm feeling good about the 49ers future bet right now. Slam the Niners to win the Super Bowl. I think they're taking that whole shit. Bet anytime, anywhere with my bookie. Also, shout out to our good folks over at Blue Chew. Make sure you go over to BlueChew.com right now. A lot of people asking me, yo, man, Blue Chew, does that shit work? Yeah, it works, man. Find out for yourself, though. Blue Chew's legit. Same active ingredient as Viagra and Cialis. But if you want to know if it works, they're going to take care of you with your first month for free by using the promo code BOOTLEG at BlueChew.com. That's right. BlueChew.com. Use that promo code BOOTLEG and get your first month for free. This is how it goes down. No awkward doctor's visits. None of that. If you're dealing with erectile dysfunction, you're dealing with too much stress, maybe you're drinking a little too much, you got the whiskey dick, I don't know, huh? Blue Chew got you, all right? BlueChew.com, promo code BOOTLEG. Sign up right now. Get your first month's supply for free delivered right to your doorstep for only $5 in shipping. No doctor's appointment. It's all online, discreet packaging in a Blue Chewable form. Come on, fellas. It's getting cold outside. Let's make sure those cocks stay hard, all right? Let's get back to the interview. Have you heard from Lush at all? It looks like he's relapsed.
Yeah, I heard about that. I haven't heard from him. A lot of people keep kind of hitting me up asking if I want to have him on the podcast, and I'm kind of considering it. But yeah, the relapse thing was kind of sad just because I had so many conversations with him on camera about him basically moving, you know, or like on camera, him talking about how important it was for him to not relapse and how he couldn't really handle smoking weed, or he couldn't handle drinking from time to time, or taking Xans or whatever he's copped to so far. So yeah, that's a little.
So you would be open to maybe having him on just to.
I'm definitely not angry at him in the way that I was at one point, you know, but am I dying to rejuvenate his career by having a conversation with him? Because as soon as I started to think about it, I pictured him going home and immediately doing a 5-hour live stream talking about what we just talked about on the podcast.
That's going to happen.
And then throughout the next week, going on 10 other podcasts to talk about the fact that he just did a podcast with me. And I don't necessarily know that I want to be the one putting the battery in his back in that regard, but it would be.
It might help him heal, though. It might help him heal. I feel like that's like an open wound of his life, because this is the biggest shit that's ever come up for him.
Yeah.
And he kind of fumbled it. You know, he kind of fucked it up.
I think that there was probably a time period where if Lush had died, I would have just never said anything publicly.
Yeah.
And now I think that if Lush died, I would probably like tweet RIP Lush. So that's growth.
That is growth.
That's a big step, right? Big so step. Who knows where we might be in 6 months from now. Maybe I could actually talk to him. I don't know.
Would you ever, I don't know about T-Rail, but would you ever entertain bringing AD back on the podcast one day? Because it feels like that's the one in relationship that was, I guess, as less disrespectful in terms of the commentary back and forth. AD kind of.
Yeah, that would probably be plausible. I wouldn't be super shocked by that happening. I think that they're still kind of like ganged up over there and they just don't. I think that probably if AD did that, everybody else would be looking at him like he was bugging. And I think it's basically like both of us trying to prove that, not just both of us, like me and AD, but really everybody's kind of trying to prove that they don't need each other, right? Mm. So I don't feel like, I'm not really in the position where I want to like boost their shit up. By
I'm
not
talking
doing
about
that.
Soon. I'm talking about maybe shit a year from now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel like honestly, probably someday we'll just like see each other and end up in a conversation or somebody. There's already like people in between us who've kind of mentioned it of like, oh, I could get you guys on the phone or whatever. And I don't think either of us are super eager to do it. But I also.
Has Wack tried?
No.
Okay.
Not so much. Maybe to him. He hasn't really mentioned it to me.
Yeah, I feel like Wax would be the guy who would just be like, I feel like he would do it on camera, though.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to call AD right now.
If he didn't do it on camera, he would go on Clubhouse and literally just tell everybody every single thing that we talked about for sure. But
is Clubhouse still Clubhousing?
I feel like it's Wax House now. It's just Wack and like 10 other people. I don't know. He talks about it like it's fucking huge, but I've realistically like almost never been on there. Is that a pound of mushrooms?
Yeah.
I just had to ask. I couldn't tell. If it was like pieces of cardboard or
no, okay. It's obviously mushrooms you put on pizza, not anything of the elite.
Oh,
sorts.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, pizza mushrooms for sure. Yeah. I fucking forgot that's in there.
It's a lot of yeah.
I mean, it's not that much.
That would be a weird day right there.
Eating all of that?
If I
that'd be a weird fucking year.
Eat a handful of that, I'll be on the moon.
Are you doing shrooms at all?
I've done them throughout my life. I haven't done them since they became like normalized.
The thing, like you haven't microdosed or nothing?
I think the last time I did a serious amount of mushrooms was like 2015.
Oh and shit. So it's been a while. So that was, yeah.
Since then, like there's been a couple times where I took a little candy or whatever. Like me and Soda Baby famously had a little funny shroom pod one time, but yeah. I don't know. It was a little freaky to me. I just don't really get it.
When you did them in 2015, like were you partying or were you by yourself or?
The time I remember, like, damn, we were in the Bay and we just, there was a bunch of BMX homies and we were just hanging out in this fucking apartment and just smoking like infinite weed and just taking mushrooms and freaking the fuck out and then just going out riding the whole next day. And that was kind of my whole life back then.
Just shrooming and riding bikes. I don't know if you should combine those two. People take shrooms as pre-workouts now.
They'll
do a microdose and then they'll go work out.
To me, I get sort of self-conscious and fidgety.
Have you heard of this shit, bro? This shit at the gas station?
What's it called?
It's called Feel Free. By the way, this shit's supposed to be like really, it's like supposed to be like fucking opiates.
Plant-based herbal supplement.
Bro, they talked about this on Joe Rogan.
Really?
I bought a bottle because I was going to try it, but then I read about it, and it's supposed to be like addictive like opiate, but it's supposed to be like fucking meth in a bottle. But it has a, like, if you take it too much.
Opiates and meth are very different.
I understand that.
Okay.
But it's supposed to have you super focused, but the addictive part of it, like, you have withdrawals and shit. Like, Jesse, who used to be with the Nelk Boys, was telling me about it.
Really?
He's like, bro, I don't know. He took one right before. He's like, I'm addicted to this really? Shit. He's like, I can't live off of these. They're at the fucking gas station.
I miss getting fucked up. So, I mean,
this shit is like, right. Appealing. It's what's the name of this shit that's in here? Oh, Kava Leaf and Kratom Leaf.
So you're saying I take that and I do
it
work?
Gets you fucking
I take
zooted
that.
And focused.
Okay.
I haven't, you took half, right? How'd you feel? Weren't you all fucking like.
I've taken some Kratom.
Yeah, it's
taking a little Kratom.
So, because I guess that shit was illegal for a long time,
uh-huh.
And it became legal, and these guys are just fucking, these fuckers are just slanging this shit. I just wonder what's worse, that or the honey pack, or the rhino juice that you get at the gas
taking
station.
Those?
I've done a honey pack and a rhino juice before.
Was it insane?
It works. You know, we take Blue Chew over here, though. Promo code Bootleg. You know what I mean?
I'm all natural, dude. I can't do it.
I can assume, though, if you get to the point where, like, you know, you're 50 and you still got to get that thing going. You know what I mean?
I hope that my survival isn't based on being able to get a boner on camera by the time I'm 50. But I don't really have many problems on camera. So I'm trying not to jinx it by taking shit.
With the guys who do have problems on camera, do they usually take Viagra or do they take will they do a honey pack?
I honestly have no idea. I actually had a porn star the other day telling me that the honey pack is fire.
It works.
Yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't taste, it tastes fucking disgusting.
Really?
But they're readily available all over LA at every gas station. So
wow. People give me that shit all the time. I still never took one.
See, the whole thing is like, I feel like nowadays it's more acceptable for younger men to do that shit.
I know. They're fucking crazy.
So I have homies of mine who are like dependent. If they're going to fuck, they're like, I got to get a honey pack.
I know dudes who take Viagra every time they fuck, and it blows my mind. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why would you want to put yourself in that position?
And so now every time you fuck, it's almost like it's a mental thing that you think you're going to have to take fucking Viagra.
Yeah. I was born horny.
One of my homies, like one of my best friends in the world, he goes to Mexico once a month and gets bottles of Viagra and like for himself. And I'm like, bro, like that can't be good for your heart.
I don't want to be reliant on anything. I'm already reliant on fucking coffee and weed, so.
Yeah. Are you still dieting?
So that's fucked up sometimes. Like, I would be in chiseled shape right now if for the last 6 months I had actually been on it. But instead, you know.
Well, because you were doing, like, the eggs every morning. And
yeah, I've been eating eggs.
You lost a lot of weight.
Eggs and bacon every morning for, like, my whole fucking life. But then I have, like, a meal prep place that I use. But then, you know, I'll just fuck up. Like, last Saturday, I ate a fucking pint of Ben & Jerry's.
Dude, I'm opening a pizza restaurant across the street from Porto's.
Really?
Yeah, and I just know I'm about to.
You got a bunch of partners on that, or how's that look?
Just two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's
dope. Know S-Dots?
I do, yeah.
The Armenian?
Yep.
He used to roll 80. He's one of my partners.
Oh, well, that's dope.
And then my guy who's the pizza man, Justin La Piazza.
I want to open a shawarma restaurant out here.
I mean, there's a lot of those.
Yeah, but I feel like I could do it different. Because I used to go to the halal trucks in New York.
Yeah.
And they're so sick. And I feel like I've never found...
nothing like that here.
I've never found one that captured exactly what made those things special.
You could open a restaurant and just call it Halal Truck. It could be a brick and mortar spot.
That's a good brand name.
Halal Truck.
Because they have halal guys out here. I think that's part of the problem. I love the halal shit, but it's not that popular out here.
It's like, not fucking with New York. No, there's nothing like...
If you see 100 food trucks out here, 90 of them are taco trucks.
100%. No, if you... We're in Austin, and they had the halal trucks on 6th Street, right? Yeah.
Oh, really? I haven't had Austin halal.
I mean, it's similar to New York. You get the fucking falafel, fucking pita.
I used to worship that shit.
No, it's great. No, yeah. And then if you got to do it in the Valley, they got a good halal spot in Encino that's really good. My Jewish homie took me there. Shit was fire.
I order different halal places off Postmates from time to time. And
but yeah, Postmates ain't it, man. It
never really hits the way I want it to.
I feel like nothing on Postmates hits the way you want it to.
Yeah.
It's always a little hot or a little fucking cold. It just gets thrown in a... Like, I never can do a salad on Postmates.
But there are... Okay, there are certain things like... what's it called? Fucking nachos. You would never want to order nachos on Postmates, right? Because 20 minutes after the nachos come out, it's going to be the shit. This is what you do. You turn the oven on while the shit's on the way to you, and then you throw those nachos in the oven.
It depends on if you got sour cream on your nachos. You don't want sour cream in the oven.
What's the oven going to do to the sour cream? It's just going to crisp it up.
I want my sour cream cold, man.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
Yeah.
But you say no sour cream, then you put your own sour cream on after. Or sour cream on the side. Boom.
No sour cream.
Problem fixed.
You stopped doing the weekly show.
Yeah.
I saw that you just said it was...
Taking a break.
Taking a break.
I've just been like so overwhelmed with doing interviews. And we've kind of been between casts where there's not like a super locked in cast.
Because it was for a while, it was just you, Brick Baby, Desto.
And then whoever, just trying different people, you know? And then I look at the goats of doing weekly content or even like academics doing the news or doing the streaming stuff and everything. And I just feel like if I'm going to do a weekly podcast outside of the whack one, which kind of carries itself because we have such energy
and
between
it's great
us.
It is great,
yeah, but I just, if I'm gonna do a weekly podcast again, I just really want to be able to put my all into it, and I don't know exactly what that would mean at this point, but I feel like I would need like I look at Joe Budden and them, and like the fact that they just get in that fucking room every day and just work on the conversation between each other, I think that's so sick. I'm just consumed with doing the interviews, so I don't really have time to do that. Like almost every night, my girl goes to bed at 10, and I'm like in the back house until 1 in the morning getting ready for interviews. Like that, almost every time, like every night. Like it's just, I'm so focused on it.
It's exhausting.
And to like really be a great podcaster on a weekly basis, I feel like you just have to be willing to like actually put the prep in to like come up with your takes, figure out what you're going to talk about.
Otherwise, you're getting on camera and winging it.
And I hate that. I can't stand people who get on camera and then they just start reading Instagram posts off, and it's the first time they've thought about it. They don't have any information.
Yeah, I think that. So that platform, like that style of content, I agree fully. It's like you got to kind of prepare yourself on the way Stephen A. Smith or Shannon Sharp does.
Right, and they're lucky because presumably they have a big fucking team around them that helps them come up with shit. If I was going to do a weekly podcast consistently again besides the Wax Show, I would just have to be willing to put a lot more
into it.
Yeah.
Yeah, my whole thing too is like even with interviews, like my interview style is like I kind of wing it 99% of the time. And I'll see the way Vlad talks about it. He'll be like, I have my assistant get notes, I'll do research. And I'm like, you know, I'll do some like loose research, but like I'll kind of know front of lobe.
Sometimes I'm
and
like
then I'll
that.
See where the convo goes.
Sometimes I'm casual. Sometimes I'm not casual at all. You
if
know,
someone comes in here that I know is like a big deal, but I might not necessarily.
Yeah, that's when I spend five fucking
hours. That's when
yeah.
I'm like, okay, let me dive into this shit.
And I love that shit though, because like even yesterday I was supposed to do a podcast with Charlie Kirk, who's a fucking. This was on the Whatever podcast. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to debate this dude about porn and porn being legal and all
I
that
feel
kind
like
of
I've
shit.
I've heard that name.
Yeah, he's the guy who started Turning Point USA, which is like a huge
conservative
conference
guy. I feel like
thing.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
And I literally spent 5 hours before that conversation watching other porn debates on YouTube and just. Working on what my arguments would be in my head and trying to really figure out like, okay, if he says this, I'm going to say this.
It never
this.
Happened.
And then the guy bailed at the last minute. But that is the kind of preparation that I like to put into interviews.
Yeah,
I can't
no, for sure.
always do that. But that's why me and Remo do a lot of interviews together. He's able to maybe do a little bit more of the deep digging.
Of the deep diving.
Specifically like in terms of the Chicago shit and stuff. It's
yeah,
like,
all,
just
listen,
so much
bro,
lore.
I got to give you that, bro. Like that whole fucking, there's so much shit that you talk about or that you're like people you're interviewing. I have like the Chicago shit dog. I have never ever spent a waking second trying to figure out what's going on in Chicago, but you got all of the fucking, I don't know. I just know Dirk's got problems with Duck who died and his mom's on OnlyFans and
okay. Yeah. And she's then not naked on OnlyFans.
There's the guy funny. With the J Main who's really funny.
Right.
I don't know his history in Chicago whatsoever. I just know him to be funny on your show.
He's an op.
Yeah, I don't know.
Too many.
Well, I only know he made, I assume so, because he had the cereal box taken down, right, with the Dirkios.
Well, that was
just all this
that
shit.
Was Dirk's friend, BJ from O Block,
like,
who
when,
took
like
it
you,
down.
Like, you go back and forth with people online. Mm. Like, recently, there was a guy.
You're just like,
I have no fucking clue who they are.
Shout out to AOKD in the tent.
No clue who that is.
He's a character.
Yeah. If he's from Chicago?
Yeah.
Yeah, I just.
I mean, yeah, but that's the weird thing about the Chicago stuff is that you can interview some pretty marginal Chicago
and it
characters
and it does numbers
and get a lot of fucking views.
Yeah, like I did. You know, I had to get hip to what was going on in Jacksonville because I interviewed Fulio.
But like that
times.
Scene in comparison, you have like a handful.
It's more
of,
simple to figure out.
You have a handful of dudes whose videos would do numbers, but like realistically, most of the tangential characters are just not going to do as well. And in Chicago,
right.
It's like
there's so many sub characters that you could talk to and all that shit, bro. Because I never was into drill music.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
It was never my thing.
I like it, but definitely it's a lot to bite off.
Like even like obviously I played Chief Keef in the club and shit, but like I was never like I understand Chief Keef's significance in culture and his influence on today's generation, mm-hmm. and I get all of it. But
Chief Keef is ancient history.
But it just
in terms
but
the
even then
shit.
In 2012, 13, whenever that was, I never like dived into like, you know, I remember seeing him get taken to the gun range by Pitchfork, which, you know, it was way mm-hmm. back then, but I never really dived into any of that shit, bro. So like sometimes you'll be talking to people and I'm like, I have no fucking clue.
Yeah, that's the general reaction to a huge percentage of the content that I do. It's just like, who the fuck is this guy? But if you get it, you get it. And if you don't,
right, it's like
it
the sub, like, yeah, yeah, for sure.
That's my problem is that I'm just like deep in so many subcultures. I guess it's not a problem, but I just have like so many little threads.
And you
that
have
I'm
so many,
in.
Like, you have knowledge of all that shit too. So it's yeah, like, for me,
streaming
it's like,
characters.
Like, if know. I'm going to do like some deep research, it's got to be somewhere I'm like, okay, this guy's doing numbers and I really am not fully aware of what he's like, you know, outside
of
the surface level shit.
Part of me just likes putting the puzzle together and just kind of like figuring out exactly what's going on.
Well, the way
on.
Vlad does it is crazy. It's like art. The way he like starts the interview and it's just like, so in 2012, you said this and this in this interview and it's like, Jesus.
Vlad will always be like, oh, okay, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that later on down because I have
because
the way this is going to go.
That is
I'm
not
driving
fit
this
into the clip that I'm making right now. So we'll get to that.
Yeah, it's I mean, it's impressive. And I know, you know, he's probably got people helping him
yeah,
with research and
he
shit.
He's got a big team, yeah.
But like, you know, I was one of the guys from Vivek Ramaswamy's camp had hit me. And I was like, if I do that interview, I got to dive in.
He hit you? Maybe I'm not putting myself in the right circles because no presidential candidates are hitting me up.
Well, I'm trying to get RFK on my shit.
Yeah, he did Vlad too. Yeah.
So I, the guy keeps inviting me to like his donor
really?
Events. He's like, come to the donor event or whatever, and I'll see it's like $1,000 or something, and I'm like,
oh Lord.
Yeah, no, I'm cool, but like, can we get this interview off? Like, yeah. It'll be on the radio all over the country and on my channel, like, you know. But
right.
Yeah. But the Vivek guy, I think that might actually happen.
Yeah, hey, that's dope. Yeah.
I just don't fucking, you know, I know a lot about Vivek. I've watched a lot of the debates.
We didn't remember his name last time we did this interview.
We didn't, but we were like, he's done a good job. The Indian guy.
Something.
Vivek Ramaswamy. Did you see the last debate?
I didn't. I haven't watched any of those, no.
Bro, that shit was like 8 Mile, bro.
Really?
Him and the broad, what's her name, Nikki Haley, Nikki and then Haley. The fat fuck, Chris Christie.
She's surging. She has no chance against Trump, but she's going
to... She's surging, for sure.
She's like the biggest one besides Trump now.
Yeah.
This is wild.
But they were snapping on each other like it was a rap battle. It was so disrespectful. This dude, Vivek, told Chris Christie to get the fuck off stage and go have a good meal.
Oh, my God.
I said, Jesus.
Chris Christie really is a disgusting human.
Yeah, he's a fat fuck.
Fat fuck. Yeah. I seen a clip of him drinking.
He's just hanging on.
He was on the train in the morning coming from Jersey to New York, and he had a Shamrock Shake in his hand. And
of course
it's like,
he did.
You're already fucking 350 pounds. You're already morbidly obese. You're waking up in the morning and drinking that much sugar.
Yo.
Like, There must be so many people around him, like any sane adult who could tell him,
bro,
like, hey,
you're
that
die.
Is not part of a balanced diet.
You're going to die.
And as a candidate, being fat is a real liability.
For sure. Just like being an old fuck is.
I know I look at Chris Christie like you're a fat fuck.
Yeah, you might have a heart attack.
Shit, I don't know.
It's crazy. What you just said, I find myself doing now. I mean, I'm 36. I know you're a little bit older than me, right?
40.
Yeah, but like I feel like we're kind of both in the same spot where we're looking at our health differently than we used to.
Mm.
And it equals me judging fat people when I see them being fat.
Yes.
Like when I see somebody who's fat, like me and my wife were eating at, we went to a spot, I think it might've been a buffet, some sort of buffet.
Mm.
And right behind us, man, this family came in. I'm talking everybody in this family was like 250, north of 250. Just a bunch of fat fucks just squeezing into this booth.
Right.
And I just looked back and I was like, fuck, like, they shouldn't be like,
yeah,
they're gonna die. Like,
and through having a kid, I see that all the time where like my kid, she ate McDonald's one time,
right,
in France with my girl. And then besides that, I mean, she just eats healthy shit.
Well, that's what sucks about me. I had my kid when I was 18, so I've kind of always just let him do his thing.
Yeah.
So now my kid's 18 years old.
But the thing is,
and he drinks fucking soda all the time. And I try to tell him, you should drink some more fucking water. And he's like, yo, I've been drinking soda my whole life. Fuck you, dad. Like, I'm like, bro, drink some fucking water. I drink plenty of water. Stop ordering soda every time we get food. Like,
yeah, my kid has no idea what soda tastes like.
See, yeah. If I'd had a kid now, I'd be on that wave, but I had a kid when I was a kid.
You know, we feed her the way that we feed ourselves. So it's like, you know, if we order food, even if we order like burgers and shit, it's like we hide the fries. If we get like dessert or anything, we hide all that. So you have to think about the burger first.
Yeah, when I had my kid, I was eating top ramen in an apartment, fucking microwavable pizzas.
Yeah, I mean, we're not really holding her to a standard that's any different than us. And also, we don't want to give her a fucking eating disorder or think that like there's something really scary about different foods and stuff. It's just like, your maintenance diet that you're going to eat in an average week should probably be pretty tame.
There's just certain shit that like I used to just fuck up milkshakes.
Oh my God.
I just would be like, nah, bro. Just the thought of drinking a milkshake just makes me like be like, that's going to set me back a month.
I remember there was a time period in my 20s where I would wake up in the morning and eat like a banana, or like two bananas, and then I would not eat anything for like 7 hours, and then I would eat a whole pizza and then crush a pint of Ben and Jerry's, and that was my food for the day.
Yeah.
And I wondered why I had diarrhea.
That's why.
Because I'm a person where if I eat bad, that bowl is getting painted.
Me too.
Painted.
Were you ever a soda guy?
No.
See, that's really the thing. I've always been a fucking... I love Coca-Cola, man. That's my downfall.
I like it from time to time too, but I don't really...
There's just certain shit that like I can't eat unless I have a soda.
Like, see, I've never been like that.
If I'm getting tacos, if I'm getting a burger, a slice of pizza, and I get water... I'm like, what am I doing?
Oh, I love water. I drink water with everything I eat. I just need to constantly be wetting my mouth while I eat.
No, me too. I can't eat dry. My wife won't eat. She won't drink until she's done eating.
I don't like it. But I like order Popeyes sometimes, and it forces you to choose a drink. And most of it's like, you know, mango Kool-Aid or some shit.
Right.
And I'll get it and just... I'll take one sip and then just dump it down the sink because it's just too much. I'm just not used to that much sugar.
For you, where do you see... No Jumper going into the new year? Because, you know, obviously you're doing a lot, man. And I can only assume that like you seem like the type of person who kind of is cognitively aware of when you're not inspired or not into something, because you've said that over the last year. So like there's just times where I'm just like, what am I doing this for? Like,
right now I'm just having a good time doing the interviews, which is really why I started No Jumper in the first place. It's just because I wanted
for a while
to talk
there
to people.
You weren't doing a lot of interviews.
It slowed down for a little bit, but for a while it became like the focus of No Jumper was, oh, it's a bunch of friends, ostensible friends hanging out, talking. And it's like, all right, there's basically like two directions, two primary directions that I could go with No Jumper. I could do interviews and focus on the platform being about interviews and getting more interviews and building up interviewers. Or I could really kind of double down on the whole homies hanging out talking about shit. I'm going to be real with you, like from a financial perspective, the homies hanging out talking to each other thing is just not really the move because you got to pay the dudes a pretty good amount. As you saw with the thing when people left, they left.
It feels like they're going through that too.
Well, they were complaining. Oh, yeah, they're probably going through it too. Yeah, but like they're complaining about how much they're getting paid. And meanwhile, I was taking an L on the content, you know, because it just doesn't earn as much, especially live streamed.
Yeah, like if we're just going to come out here and hang out for fun.
Yeah.
Like, I got to make some money. I got kids.
Yeah. And when I think about what I'm doing in my life, it's like, if I live streamed all of my interviews,
right,
I would have probably missed out on, like, I don't know, like $1 million this year or like many hundreds of thousands of dollars because chopping them into clips and putting them out like that is just so much more beneficial to us than putting them online and having it age restricted or whatever. And it's like, for me, at the end of the day, I would like to do our interviews live. I mean, it's kind of scary because sometimes people want you to take shit down, you got to cut shit out, whatever. But I got to think about the business side of things.
Yeah, Rogan, remember when Rogan was doing his shit before he went to Spotify? All his shit was live.
A lot of people used to do it live and kind of realized at a certain point that it just wasn't really worth it.
Well, hey, what up, y'all? I'm excited because I'm going to be flying to Tampa to DJ the Odd Sox holiday party next week. And of course, as y'all know, Odd Sox are OG sponsors, our family, the most comfortable socks in the world. Want to give much love to Odd Sox for always holding us down at the Bootleg Head Podcast. Now, it is the holiday season. There ain't nothing like getting you a pair of Odd Socks for your loved one, getting some underwear, getting a hat, whatever you're into. They got it. OddSocksOfficial.com. Promo code bootleg. Save 20% off. 20% off at checkout right now. All the licenses. WWE. I mean, Hooters. Oh, some Hooters underwear. Let's take a peek at these, huh? Bunch of fucking owls all over here. There we go. Mmm, I like it. What about Chucky? Ain't nothing like some Chucky socks during the Christmas, you know? Hey, whatever you're into, they got it. OddSocksOfficial.com. Use the promo code bootleg right now. Save 20% off and enjoy the most comfortable socks in the world. Also want to give a shout out to our family over there. King Palm. Now, that's the thing about King Palm. What I love about King Palm, no tobacco, no nicotine. We're talking about straight, natural leaf, organic leaf, all right? And the cool thing is they got these terpene-infused tips. When I tell you they're terpene-infused, I mean it. Like, I love these ones. Shout out to Sugar Sean. Fuck, almost fucked his name up. Sugar Sean O'Malley from Phoenix. He's got his honey orange here. How it works, you load that thing up with your cannabis flower. You got that flavorful tip inside. Bam. What it looks like when it's all done. It's like a work of art, ladies and gentlemen. It's a work of art. All right, go to your local smoke shop, wherever you're at. They got King Palm. Go ask for King Palm. Thank me later, okay? King Palm, local smoke shop, 7-Eleven, they got them. Or you can just go to the website. Check this out. Go to the website, kingpalm.com. Take care of somebody in your life that you love and get 50% off everything you order at kingpalm.com using the promo code bootleg. 50% off. That's half off. Half off. kingpalm.com. That's what we're doing right now. All right, let's get back to the interview. You've kind of changed.
But he's also someone who's not really trying to like make money through streaming on YouTube, which we are. Like, we have to kind of pay for all our employees and everything by doing that. So
for you, I've noticed you've reversed the way you were dropping interviews, where you're doing clips now, then the full thing.
Yeah, that started because of people like THF Bezu and FYBJ Main, where I would, you know, pay them for the interview, and then it's kind of like, okay, well, how are we going to make the most money from this? Well, I guess we basically have to drop it in clips before we drop the full thing. And then we started just kind of doing that with everything for a while. And then I went like 1 month. I don't even know if the fans noticed this, but I went like 1 month where I was primarily dropping everything full interview first and then clips on the clips channel. And I feel like the content kind of gets more attention if you drop it clip by clip. And I see it how it is with Vlad. And I've found that Vlad is usually right about everything.
Because he's been doing that forever.
He's just been doing it forever. And he's so analytical and he's so like capable of looking at what is going to do what. But I mean, some of the interviews I do like are with such fringe niche characters that it just doesn't really feel right to drop it clip by clip. So I'm kind of like in a weird place where I want to drop certain things, the full thing up front, and then other things clip by clip. So I'm still kind of trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do with this NBA YoungBoy content I got, because we got so much, and it's like, we want to make sure we take advantage of it, you know, because it's a big situation.
Definitely. Know? And knowing that the best moments from your footage with him are going to end up on Twitter getting millions of views that you will not participate in any way, aside from people saying like, oh, I saw you in that YoungBoy thing on Twitter.
For sure. That's what happened. Every day I get hit with that Big Boogie clip where he's on my fucking platform and he was talking. He said he got paid like offered $10 million to go to college.
I see people always saying like this was the biggest lie ever told or some shit.
It definitely might have been. So you're open to paying people for interviews nowadays. Is that something because you didn't do that always, right?
I never really did it before. But over time, it's kind of like, you know, again, we all have our platforms and you got to look at it as a business. And it's like sometimes, you know, I'll pay a couple thousand for an interview and make 10,000 or 15,000.
Yeah, like the trade-off makes sense and you're going to pay for the ones you know you're going to get your money back on.
And I think it's just only fair because to a certain extent, like, you know, the people are not idiots. Like somebody like FYBJ Main, like what reason would he have to go do a bunch of podcasts aside from getting paid from him? If he knows that No Jumper is going to make $10,000 off doing an interview with him, he's going to get in there and say, I want three, I want 4,000, I want whatever. And
yeah, he hit me because I DM'd him. I was like, yo, you're funny. Come on the show sometime.
And he's trying to get back.
I just said, hey, man, it's not what I do over here, buddy. But much love to you, brother.
But I understand.
I said, keep hustling. Yeah. I ain't mad at you, though.
Yeah.
Same thing with Crit Mac. Crit Mac's the only guy I consider paying. He wanted $500. But I was like, I did, at the time, he was doing so many interviews.
Yeah. What are you going to ask him to
Right. And so I was like, yo, what? I was like, maybe we go skydiving or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like some random shit, you know? Like,
but that's very Mac Ventures. That was the
stuff. But then he started doing that.
Yeah.
So it was like, they're already kind of, you know.
Because that's the whole thing with Jay Maine is this, that like he does content on his own platform as well. He does little interviews with Tay Savage and shit like that. And it's like, well, that content, he knows exactly how much that content makes, so he could probably do the math and figure out how much money I'm making off of them. So
yeah, like we just did a video of vlog with Mexican OT where we went and murdered hogs in a helicopter.
Yeah,
and it did great, but like really, like we didn't make money off it. It just kind of paid for itself.
Yeah,
which is fine though, because it was a dope video and it brought a bunch of subscribers and it kind of, you know, I think it's like the second vlog we've done, because you've been doing vlogs forever. I haven't. So that was the second one we ever did.
Yeah.
And so the first one did really well. The second one did well. So it was like, you know what? This is, we don't have to make money on this.
Yeah. I mean, it's good to just do shit in general. Like if I go to, you know, I mean, really, if I'm going to go do a vlog, even in like the LA area, even if it's like a day trip, I mean, it's going to have to make kind of a significant amount of money to cover like, you know, the filmer. It was obviously my filmers are like on salary and shit like that, but like even just having security with you, all of a sudden then it's like, oh, okay, this content is costing quite a bit more because you got to pay for all these different things. I don't necessarily think that like us doing like vlogs make sense if you have a big idea that's going to really like get the viewers in, but the viewers are allergic to like lazy content at this point. They just know. And it did not used to be like that. People used to just watch whatever.
They'd watch whatever.
And now it's much more cutthroat. And I've heard a lot of like very big channels in this space tell me that this year was a drop off in revenue that they never really experienced before. And I don't think I can say that. I definitely think that I probably made as much in 2023 as I made in 2022, which is counterintuitive to some people because they're like, oh, you got less views. But I had 33 people on staff at one point last year.
I mean, for you, they don't see the back end of the business.
Yeah, we almost cut our staff in half. And I mean, that might sound kind of.
You guys had 33?
At one point, yeah.
Wow.
Well, including like a lot of hosts and stuff. Shit. I'm only saying that because we were just doing Christmas bonuses and it was like, oh, like we have way less heads that we need to take into account. But I mean, you got to think about the business that way at a certain point. Like, am I paying people that aren't producing a return for me?
Are you doing a Christmas party this year? Because last year's is kind of lives in infamy.
Was it? Why?
I've seen like I saw a video where it was like everybody who was there, and then they're gone.
Yeah,
it was whoever edited a great job because
I don't think I ever actually saw it. I just saw like the first 2 seconds in the Reddit, and I was like, I'm not watching this. I kept scrolling.
But are you guys going to do a No Jumper holiday party this year?
Yeah, it was a little something. Yeah,
little shindig. Your birthday looked fun. I was on the list, and then I wasn't on the list.
Really?
Yeah, you guys invited me. You hit me, and I told you I was coming. I got a text the day of saying you're no longer on the list.
What?
I swear to God.
You could have definitely came. I mean, I did hear like a couple other people say that too.
I got a text. It was like, thank you, but you're no longer on the list.
Really?
After I got a text that said you're confirmed on the list.
So you would have came otherwise?
Yeah, but I'm like, I'm not.
Hit me up.
Dude, it's your birthday.
There was a lot of people in there that were not supposed to be there.
I certainly was not tripping.
Wow.
I chilled with my kids, but
fucked up,
I'm also not the person that's going to bother
but
you.
But a few other people
birthday.
Told me that that happened where like the, because that RSVP.
Because I
could have
bothered you or Josh, but I was like, you know what? I'm not going to fucking show up and be the guy standing outside trying to fucking get in. Like,
no, you could have just texted me and I would have fixed it for you right away because that happened with a couple other people, but I didn't know how
to do it. Looked like a fucking good shindig though.
That was probably the best party we ever did. But you know, we're talking about spending a lot of money on shit. I mean, we spent like 100 racks on that party.
Fuck.
And I mean,
well, you guys had sponsors though.
No, we didn't really get sponsors. We just said just do it. Like, we didn't even bother trying to get an alcohol sponsor because that right there, like, the alcohol would have been like minus 10 or 15 grand worth of product on, you know, if we had had a sponsor. But I don't know. And then, like, the reality show that costs almost $100,000 to put together, the rental, paying the talent, and the crew, insane. And it's like, are you going to be able to make $100,000 off 4 YouTube videos? I mean, they would have to get like 2 million views each, and the last episode got age restricted, so it like really didn't earn as much.
Yo, that age restricted shit sucks.
But we chose to do that anyway just because I think it's good to have like a template of look at what we can put together, look at the scale of the productions that we can.
Yeah,
because
maybe now you can sell you could be a production company
for, that was kind of our idea.
Zeus
was like
for MTV,
let's make the fucking Crip Mac dating show, and then he got locked up like
damn days, the Crip Mac dating show would have been heat.
A lot of even the comments were suggesting that idea, even though we'd already been talking about it because it was just such an obvious layup. I think
are you actively looking for new hosts, or is that something where you kind of
it's weird because yes, but a lot of times the economics of it are a little hard to wrap your head around.
I think people think that like what we do just prints a shit ton of money. Like,
I know.
And it's like, well, it's really not the case.
And I know plenty of people that have started basically like clones of my business and then seem to have like a reality check at some point and be like, oh, so we're not going to make any money and this is going to be really, really fucking difficult. But yeah, like what the fuck were you saying? Oh yeah. Okay. So like the math in my head is like, it would be great to put together another at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, what are you going to like, especially a lot of the people that I would like to put together in one of these types of podcasts, I would have to like move them to LA.
Okay. Okay.
So right there, let's say that you got to pay somebody if they're going to be doing multiple podcasts per week or whatever, what do you got to pay them? Like fucking 8-10 grand a month, that type of shit.
To move somebody to town.
Yeah. Cause most people aren't going to leave their hometown
to survive in a place like LA.
Exactly. If I say, hey, I'll give you 5 grand a month to move out here. I mean, that's going to pay for their rent and some food or whatever. Like, and if they're like a host, like an on-camera talent who probably has other opportunities or could just do YouTube on their own, then that doesn't sound that appealing. So you got to, let's say you have to pay everybody 10 grand. Let's say I got to pay 10 grand a month to 3 different people. Well, now you got to figure out how you're going to make $30,000 a month.
It's not easy.
Off a podcast. You're going to have to really kill it with the sponsors.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have them like be really in the zone. The podcast is really going to have like a hardcore fandom. I think I could probably do it. And hopefully we do end up taking that sort of step this year. But it also might rely kind of on like, oh, we might have to like really push the Patreon angle. You know, that type of thing. Like maybe if we can, because if you make a piece of content that people like are really signing up for the Patreon to see bonus content or whatever, now it starts to make sense outside of the sponsors and the ads. But it's really,
you guys do so much content because it's No Jumper News every day.
Yeah. Well, Monday through Friday. Yeah.
So it's like a Monday through Friday thing with usually 3 hosts, yeah. Right? Usually there's
sometimes
3
more, but yeah.
I mean, so yeah, I mean, that's your, I mean, yeah.
That's already like its own thing, but that's good because it gives us a way to test out talent, try people out without having
throw people in.
Yeah.
Do you guys repurpose that for a news channel on Snapchat?
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense.
So it makes a little bit more money that way. Yeah.
Yeah. The Snapchat thing's lit. So thank you for that, brother. Thank you.
No doubt.
Snapchat's great. People don't know. And then I realize now that I like know that Snapchat shows are a thing, I'm like, yo, the most random people have Snapchat shows.
And a lot of the Snapchat shows are like their old YouTube videos from 2017 repurposed.
Just repurposed. Yeah.
That's what people who make like evergreen content, like the professor,
mm-hmm.
The basketball dude,
yeah.
Like he told me that his Facebook is his biggest revenue stream, but he makes content that you could see it 6 years after he filmed it.
And it still is,
doesn't
as relevant.
Seem old.
Yeah, because so he's just hooping.
Even Logan Paul told me he makes a crazy amount of money on Facebook. And it's like he's posting his vlogs, doing shit that he would never do now.
Right.
And he's just putting it on Facebook and it still works. You know?
How's your relationship these days with Ak?
We talk a pretty good amount.
Yeah, I feel like you guys have an interesting on-camera dynamic where, you know, he's obviously cool with AD and those guys. And
right.
But he's you know, he's obviously a trailblazer during the streaming era, if you will.
It's kind of a funny switch between us because he was kind of like getting involved when AD and T-Rell were all there and stuff. Mm-hmm. And there was a couple times where he said something like, "Oh, like AD, you should be getting paid $200,000 a year at No Jumper."
Right.
And that's like, obviously he wasn't. So he's kind of like, right. and he's saying like, "I would pay you guys this amount." Now you like fast forward to like, he's really pushing the Academy thing and trying to like build up his cast and everything. And I'm sure he's
probably going through some of the growing pains you had to go through.
I'm sure he's aware that it would be difficult for him to pay any of those hosts $20,000 a month or whatever. So I think he's realizing the same thing that I kind of realized, which is that the whole business model of like, oh, I'm going to pay a bunch of people to just make content on behalf of my brand. I mean, it didn't work for Complex. Like they weren't profitable with Joe Budden and Academics.
It doesn't work for a lot of people, man.
It didn't work for Revolt. State of the Culture never went anywhere. And you're talking about like big budgets, big mm-hmm. names. And meanwhile, with like No Jumper, it's like, well, we don't have as big of a budget. We can't afford to just lose money right. for this long ass period of time. Sponsors don't oftentimes want to touch this sort of edgy content with violence being discussed and sex being discussed and God knows what. So
hey, shout out to our sponsor, King Palm, who's also a sponsor of No Jumper.
King Palm water.
It's good water.
Chug it.
It's good water.
That's my slogan I made up for them. No, but like, King Palm is dope. But I just don't have a lot of belief. Like I used to always say about No Jumper, like No Jumper needs to be a network. We're going to have all these hosts and they're going to do content and yada, yada. And like we achieved that for a while, but the finances were kind of wonky and I didn't really have my business down the way that I should have, because I should have had contracts that kind of prohibited a lot of the stuff that ended up happening. And by the time that stuff happened and they were talking about No Jumper drama on their streams every day, it was like already kind of too far gone. And I realized that there wasn't really a way for me to reverse time and get back to what right. I thought that the situation should be. But when I look at all these other podcasts and platforms and stuff, I don't see really most of them having much success with it either. I mean, you have somebody like Joe, and I think that he largely survives off Patreon, you know?
Yeah, he's gone through it with trying to launch a network, I mean, publicly.
He had a couple different shows on there that didn't work out and everything. So I don't have a ton of faith in that. Like, obviously, we do have, like, Brick and Sharp, and they're still doing content on No Jumper and stuff like that, but it's definitely a tricky business to be in, and I wouldn't.
Sharp's in LA now, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't say I'm like really devoted to like I have to find these hosts and I have to build up more podcasts, because the business side of it is just hard.
What was for you? Is it like obviously it has to make sense for you financially to try to recreate the magic on Melrose and open a store?
Yeah, I mean, I just miss having that sort of spontaneity of just having a spot and being able to do it.
Because you just shot content there, right? I think I just saw.
Do podcasts the there some of the time. Like last week, Friday, I went there and did two interviews throughout the day at the spot. And then Sunday, I came back in, hung out on the block, did two more interviews on the block. So I like just being able to be, it's just like a certain energy to be in on Melrose. And we're right next door to Desto Dub. And it is different than it was before, because there's just like a little bit less hype around everything. But I mean, we get to inherit a lot of the hype that's kind of going on with Dub right there. So every time I'm out there on a Sunday and there's like a million people just standing out on the street, feels very good to have like a real community around us and everything like that. So I felt like it was important for us to lean into that. And I feel like we get enough content through being out there that it's just good. Like Remo will be like there having different artists come in just to film TikToks and take photos and get some merch and stuff like that. And that shit just kind of helps the brand. Like I always loved having the store on Melrose. It's kind of a shame we're gone for 3 years, but
I mean, shit. I mean, you think about that Jake Holm moment you had, that was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
And he just walked in, right?
I like just anything spontaneous is really great for the content. Yeah.
100%, man. Yeah. Well, listen, go subscribe to Plug Talk.
Onlyplugtalk.com.
How much is that scene?
I'm not exactly sure. It's $5 a month to sign up for Plug Talk, and then that scene is available in the DMs.
Is that the business model of OnlyFans?
Pretty much.
I've not actually legit never done the...
Well, that's surprising to hear.
The sign-up thing, no.
That's one thing is that almost every porn girl has... Like, you have to pay for, like, any decent content on their
show. Like, is the main page just, like, a normal, like, feed or just, like a trailer?
On ours, you get every episode we've ever done just for the basic monthly amount. But on most girls' OnlyFans, you pay X amount of dollars and you get, like, some photos on the feed, and then you got to pay $5, $10, whatever it is for additional content.
Fake aid off the dude, yeah.
There you go, yeah.
Damn, that's so... I really thought he was a simp and he was just lying. Because I didn't watch the interview. I just saw the headline. So I just assumed, oh, he's trying to get out of it.
Yeah.
He's probably getting clowned by his homies.
That's funny that a lot of people had that reaction. But
he's full of shit.
Yeah, but knowing him, I don't know.
No, so yeah, I mean, now that I kind of know all the,
I feel bad for him though, because him.
Now I'm not going
to
interview him.
Yeah, him coming on No Jumper ruined every other opportunity that he had to go on all these other podcasts. Like, he texted me this morning telling me that he spent $3,000 flying to Miami and then Fresh Unfit, and they canceled on him, and they were going to pay.
I just got paid for my first interview. Have you gotten paid to do an interview?
Oh, Vlad.
Vlad paid you?
Well, but like we do like a swap. To, I don't even ask him anymore. But there was a couple times that he gave me some money. Just,
shout out to Vlad, man.
Yeah, but he pays like a decent amount. He takes credit for that he started the practice of paying guests.
Yeah, I'm not. But that practice ever coming to fruition here.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to get everything just based on your relationships, but at the end of the day, it's like if you can spend $5,000 and make 10.
I really honestly would have paid Crit Mac just to hang out with him.
Yeah,
because my son's best friend. Shout out to Joe Pete. He's born and raised in
55th Street?
Born and raised in Burbank, but he's from 55th Street.
There should be a 55th Street
and all Burbank he does is say, branch. Own crib. And really? I'm like, bro, shut the fuck up, you little fucking Italian bastard from Burbank. You're not. But I was like, yo, if I pay Crip Mac, I'm bringing all the kids from Burroughs High to come and fucking all my son's friend group will just be
bring
here.
Them to the school. Do a little meet and greet.
I don't know if I could do that.
You can try.
Get in trouble for that. But like, I appreciate you pulling up. As always, bro. Appreciate Adam 22. Boom. Fire. Can we show some love to our family at Hardeen? Man, shout out to Hardeen, man. Look, if you're in Vegas, you got to pull up. You got to say, take me to Hardeen right now. I need to go to Hardeen. They're going to take you. They're going to get you situated. Hardeen, Las Vegas, the best cannabis dispensary I've ever walked into in my life. The most craziest selection of premium cannabis in the entire world. I mean, that place smells like God's sweat. It just smells so good in there. It's just, they got their own scent. They're our family too, man. So make sure you follow them online, Hardeen_Las Vegas, all right? Shoot them a follow on Instagram. Also go to HardeenLasVegas.com. And when you're in Vegas, make sure you pull up to Hardeen, baby.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.